Tom, how are you this morning?
I'm great this morning, Tony. Good to be with you.
Well, it's always great to talk with you. And I guess it's pretty cool that we could call you an Upton Sinclair Award winner. You've got hardware coming in now, Tom.
Yeah, it was quite a surprise and very nice one that Education News, a great education news service, selected me as one of the 2010 Upton Sinclair Education Award winners. And it's important to draw attention to the importance of quality education. Tony, you know, and I know that there's great teachers that are on their way or already in their classroom today, making a difference in the lives of our children and the quality of life for all of us. And it's very, very important. So I was greatly honored to receive this award.
Well, there's a lot of great places that you write for, Tom. I've learned a lot about a lot of them during our conversations in the last 6 or 10 months. But one of them is a new one that I started digging into, and you have a new piece that's in the Michigan View, which is a political commentary hotspot. I've seen articles from Frank Beckman and many other Michigan area media moguls, if you will. The piece you wrote today is titled "A Michigan Prophet's Warning." What did you mean by that?
Well, this is a writer, a man that I've met who's been practicing turnarounds, working with governments, individuals, and companies, turning around tough businesses that have got themselves in economic debt. Well, our country is in debt, Tony. Today, 40 cents on every dollar that the American government spends, we're borrowing. That's not good for today, and it's not good for tomorrow. And what this author talks about in his book is a culture of debt. It's Jim McTevia.
And we've had him on the program several times.
But he points out that basically we're mortgaging our children's and our children and our great-grandchildren's future by borrowing, kind of living large today. And as you know and I know and our grandmas have always told us, there's no such thing as a free lunch. We cannot borrow our way out of debt. And whether that's individually at the state, where we're facing nearly a $2 billion deficit coming into the new administration, or at the national level when we have a $14 trillion with a T debt. And this book is something I would encourage people to stick as a stocking stuffer and to take a look at it, because sooner or later we're going to have to pay the piper. And that means, as we've talked about on your show before, there's only three ways to balance a budget. That's increase revenues, which means in the public sector, tax increase, decrease expenditures, meaning cutting back on something that we're anticipating getting, or a combination of the two. And we're going to need to do that, individuals and families at the state level, local municipal governments, and at the national level if we're ever going to get out of this debt that we're in.
All right, Tom, we know that. We know we're in trouble. We know we owe a lot of money. We've been borrowing money for decades, and we know the perils of that. When do you think it's really going to get in, be that burr in the saddle for the general population? Obviously, a lot of folks were fed up when they went to the ballot box this past November, because a lot of people lost their jobs because of the way they voted, whether it was dealing with health care or other economic issues. People were really concerned about jobs. When do you think this debt's going to come to the forefront of the people, or do you think it's such a habit, it's such a pattern that it may never?
Well, it's ultimately going to have to, because it'll bring this country down if we do not deal with it. And just last night, Tony, when you asked the question, when are they going to deal with it? Last night, we at the Congress, we the people voted for the folks. While we say the deficit in the last time, the election was very big issue and we had to get our debt under control, we just passed a tax cut bills and enabled the tax cuts for the richest Americans to stay in effect, and passed other tax cuts, which in fact raised the national debt. Sooner or later, we're going to have to deal with it. Pretending to fix a hole in your roof never keeps the rain out. I'm hoping in the new Congress we're going to have to address this as we come forward. I wrote a piece in it last month for Dome Magazine, great magazine, internet magazine, Dome, D-O-M-E, magazine.com, that your readers or listeners can take a look at. And I laid out some things we're going to need to do, and they're very unpleasant, just like what Governor Snyder is going to find with his upcoming budget, because when you take something away, when you cut back on road services or police services or mental health services or education, people tend to react. And when you raise taxes to pay for these things, people tend to have a visceral reaction to that as well.
In an article, speaking of Dome Magazine, titled Importing Brain Power, I found it fascinating because you talk about China is exporting more than cheap stuff to America. Increasingly, the Chinese are sending us their most prized possession, their children. From the article, I gathered that the United States is a better place to educate children than perhaps other places, but I think the Chinese want them to know the ways of America and how to do business here?
Well, that's certainly a part of it. At Michigan State University, I believe the number this year is going up substantially, is about 1,300 undergraduate Chinese students that are matriculating here, getting their degrees. In China, it's very, very competitive. It's based solely on a test on whether or not you go to the university and what university you go to. It's a two-day, very intense test, and so people are looking at other options. And America has always been a beacon of hope for a lot of reasons, and certainly our quality of our fine institutions, like my alma mater there, Michigan State, is a great place for these children to come and to get an education. And one of the great things for us is that oftentimes Chinese or other immigrants that come here, they come, get the education, and if our immigration policy is set right, they're able to stay and create jobs that benefit not only the Chinese or the Polish before them or Germans or Italians or Indians, but it enables them to stay here benefiting their family, but creating jobs here in America. And that has benefited this country going back from the very beginning.
And Tom, before we let you go, when talking about China, this is something we've talked about before, and I've only got about a minute left. They seem to have a more efficient way to educate their young students than we do here.
Well, I wouldn't say so much efficient, Tony, is that it's a cultural change as well. The Chinese value education from the individual child to the parent. We oftentimes refer to it in China as the 4-2-1. There's four grandparents, two parents, and one child because of the historical one-child policy. So they focus like a laser on getting that child the education they need and deserve in order to thrive in this hyper-competitive global knowledge economy in which we all have to compete in.
All right, Tom, if people want to know more about you and what you do, what website can they go to?
Well, the best is take a look at Dome Magazine. It's really where I try to keep a lot of my current stuff. We'll be coming out today with a new one that's talking about Governor Snyder's reinvention, which will be the mantra for 2011, reinventing Michigan.
All right, Tom Watkins, always enjoy. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tony.